This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and maybe even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
And now, this is the Rich Eisen Show.
We did it!
Banner number 18 has been secured.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Tatum switches to the left hand. Attack to the mid block. Stop and start. And Lively runs it off the window. Score and the foul.
These last 7 years have been a roller coaster. I had to listen to all that about me. It was worth it.
Earlier on the show, Dallas Morning News columnist Tim Cowlishaw. Coming up, Baseball Hall of Famer John Smoltz. NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Have a conversation with us. Celtics win banner 18. Discuss that. Also discuss the Mavericks side of things and the Cowboys' future in 2024 with the Dallas Morning News columnist and voice of one of the Around the Horn voices from ESPN, Tim Cowlishaw. If you missed it, don't worry. We re-air as soon as this show is over. There's our YouTube channel as well. John Smoltz, Baseball Hall of Famer, will be joining us in the middle of this hour. We just discussed why of all the banners of all the teams that TJ roots for, with me celebrating a banner from Michigan football team this year, and you now with the Boston Celtics, Chris, we're wondering when TJ can get his. And when we talked about how the Mets are on a heater right now because they haven't lost a game since Grimace threw out a first pitch. Can't wait to talk about that with John Smoltz. You know what? We might actually talk about, you know, the Dodgers losing Yamamoto and Betts for who knows how long in the span of 48 hours. Yankees losing Anthony Rizzo as well.
Sure, if you want to bore him.
Might discuss that.
But you got to get into this Grimace thing first.
Okay, we got to dive deeper into the Grimace thing.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Hour number three, Tom Pelissero will be joining us on this program. While I was out of office, this happened. And I knew there would be hay made by you on this program, Chris, while I was gone. Because there was another generationally enriching signing in the National Football League and a contract awarded to somebody who has a non-crooked number in the career playoff win category. That'd be Trevor Lawrence. And the one win that he had as a Jacksonville Jaguar quarterback in the playoffs came in a game in which he had such a dreadful first half. We were all wondering if he'd get benched in that game. And then we all know part of the reason why, and a lot of folks say this or not, if it's legit, is that the Chargers were charging in that game as well. That's also part of the reason why Jim Harbaugh is now the current head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. And Trevor Lawrence got that contract, $55 million a year. 55 per, tying Joe Burrow for the highest such mark in the history of the National Football League. And Trevor Lawrence's contract as well. Overall, in terms of the amount of money thrown at him, five-year deal pays a total of $275, $142 of which is guaranteed. And the only other person who's been paid a higher total dollar amount in the National Football League's history than Trevor Lawrence is $275. It's Patrick Mahomes, who we all know is not in the category of the realm of the galaxy of being wonder if he's worth it.
So he's on the cheap now.
And I will just say this again, once again. if you believe that the quarterback that you have seen in the first 3 or 4 years of his professional playing career has done any of the following or a combination of the following. One, shown you a path to a championship with his play or his leadership skills. Has put in the time, has shown that he, in your opinion, is a true lead pipe wielding professional. If he has shown all that and also been good in the community and has also been good in the locker room and is somebody that has given you zero concerns of being a bad apple. If that person also came in highly touted, if that person is somebody who the general manager there is, you know, hired for you as a head coach who's come in separately and you have together, individually, collectively, as an organization, as well as a front office or coaching staff, everybody rowing in the same direction, doesn't matter what you pay them. You have to pay them market value, and that market value is what Trevor Lawrence got. Certainly compared to what Jared Goff recently got in this particular non-playing season, what Burrow and Herbert and Hurts and Jackson, Lamar got in last year, knowing that at some point you're going to have to pay him because what is your other option? Your other option is to let him play out his deal and show you what he can do for you, go all in, if you will, with him, and then wind up putting him on the Kirk Cousins plan, which is franchise tag, and making him think maybe you're not all in on him because you haven't given him security in a contract. Or you make him play it out and then go to free agency and get an older quarterback with more miles to the gallon already, more miles on the tires. Do you do that? Or do you go back into the draft and start all over again because you're not going to pay market value? And if you do that, you don't pay market value. If you do that, it does two things. One, it sends a message to the rest of the league, you're not willing to do that for somebody who's put in the time. And free agency might come to bite you if you want to do that. Why am I going to go there? So you don't pay me like Trevor Lawrence at some point? Even though maybe you'll pay me now, but what about that next contract I'm worried about? Or it's the message to within your locker room that you're saying to somebody, hey, we saw how much hard work he put in and he did this, that, the other thing, and we saw him get hurt last year, and we're not paying him because we need to see a little bit more. These are all messages that you are sending if you don't do it.
So what?
Well,
I mean,
here's the alternative.
So what?
Here's the alternative. You have put all the time in. You do believe he's the right guy. He can grow. He can keep growing. You do understand what's gone on behind the scenes. You've also told your locker room, hey, everybody, not only are we paying our quarterback market value and enriching him because he's put in the work, and that's what we tell you all here. You put in the work for us, and you show us that you are a professional, and it's your time, your turn. We'll pay you market value. They did the same thing for Josh Allen, their pass rusher. Now, did they pay him top of the market Nick Bosa? No, they didn't. But Josh Allen took it.
Josh Allen's better than Trevor Lawrence.
Now, you could make that case, but what they have done, the Jacksonville Jaguars have placed their bets. They placed their bets in an NFL world where the salary cap is exploding and going up. They have placed their bets with their quarterback and then their major pass rusher. What do you need to have in this league? You got to have a quarterback, and you got to have your pass rusher. You got to have your coach. You got to have a locker room that buys into all that, and obviously other players around them to create the championship team. And the Jaguars have said, okay to Trevor Lawrence and Josh Allen and Doug Peterson and saying, we're placing our bets and we're going to work and that's that. Otherwise, they would be telling their locker room, we're not paying you. And also, Doug Peterson, we're not going to put the folks in the locker room that we know you love because that's the market and we're just not going to go ahead and pay it.
Well, you can put more folks that Doug Peterson loves in the locker room if you pay everyone appropriately and you have money left over to get more talented veteran impact players.
He's got a point.
Well, then you're also walking into the walk year with Trevor Lawrence and you're letting that clank around your locker room.
How'd that work for Joe Flacco?
It worked out really well for Joe Flacco. And then we all understand, though, what it would mean if it also worked out in a way that the rest of the locker room is wondering what the hell's going on in their spot. Why aren't we paying Trevor? He's our leader. We'll follow him anywhere. They're not paying him that. I'm just telling you, Chris.
I mean, no one in their right mind thinks he's as good as Joe Burrow. Nobody.
Or this is the year that he does.
I'll be stunned.
Okay. There have been things that have been more stunning in the history of the National Football League than Trevor Lawrence panning out as the best player at the position in the National Football League that he can possibly be. Honestly.
Yeah, I don't know why that would be stunning because, as I've said over and over for years, this guy was touted as being next. So why wouldn't
he continue to evolve? It's just an insane business strategy that these owners have.
It's still better.
Are performing
it's
now.
Still better than the previous one where these contracts would have been given to Trevor Lawrence before he's taken a snap in the NFL.
No, but that's this is true. Basically the exact same thing.
It is not the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing if Trevor Lawrence had 3+ years of National Football League quarterbacking under his belt.
You're giving a guy who hasn't earned it the most money in the league, which is exactly what the first overall pick used to get.
This is the way the NFL does business because there's money coming out of every single geyser. It's a gusher right now, and the cap is going up, and this is the way it will go. And the only question is which one in the NFL, which owner, which coaching group, and which player will wind up being in a boat together and they decide to try your way, which is you've only won one playoff game here.
So our offer
is less.
160. Why not give him the Daniel Jones?
And if you don't like it,
go get it somewhere else.
Go get it somewhere else and let him go and not franchise tag him. And let him walk and let him see what's up. And let's see if there's any other team in the NFL that will throw all that money at him and see how it goes. And also run the risk of alienating people in your locker room and telling people, sending the message to everybody in the locker room, we don't care if you put in the work and you do everything right. And you do everything that we say, if it just comes down to it on a January day that we get one and done or we have a terrible game, that it's on you and you're all gone. And we'll do it again over and over and over again. And the guy who's close to that right now, more than anybody else, is Jerry Jones. And we're all wondering, what's he doing? Well, he's doing exactly what you're saying, Chris. But at the end of the day, I believe Dak's going to have to get paid. And to not pay him now means you've allowed the Jacksonville Jaguars to set the market. You've allowed them to do it. And the longer you wait on Dak, you're going to let the Miami Dolphins set the market. Now, is it possible that the Dolphins are taking this approach as well? That is it possible that they're looking at Tua and saying, $55 million a year, like 275 is not the floor for you, bud, because we've seen X, Y, and Z, and we have our questions, and we have this, and we have that. And the longer it goes, the more Tua might be more prone to find an adjective closer to the word pissed off than he did the last time when he was finding the right word to describe his feelings on why a contract had yet to be delivered to him by mandatory minicamp. Training camp's around the corner. Now, you might sit here and say the only spot where Tua can show off his craft in a championship caliber is Miami. And if Miami says no to him and lets him walk, who's going to give Tua an all-time great contract? Who's going to do that and have the horses for him around him, like Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, those guys under contract, and have a whole host of offensive weapons that can run like A-Train and the Boys, which I started watching on my flight. How's that for my first reference by the boys?
Welcome to the party.
So that's the conundrum when you're the player. Am I in the best position for me to succeed professionally, and how many yachts do I need a water ski behind? And but the fact that a team makes you sit there and wonder if you do have the back of the franchise, because they won't set the market with you, they won't top the market with you, is exactly what's potentially causing Brandon Ayuk to tell Jaden Daniels in a conversation that they had on a FaceTime that went and got posted, him saying, the Niners don't want me here. I'm sure the Niners would push back and say, what are you talking about? We want you here. It's just at this price. And he's probably thinking, well, the only way that you really want me here is by hitting my price. And this happens at every position. It just happens to be that no team has really pushed back on their quarterback.
Right.
And Trevor Lawrence wasn't going to be the guy, and the Jaguars weren't going to be the team, and Doug Peterson wasn't going to be the coach that goes, hey, Trevor, you got to show it to us, like, more than just what you did 2 years ago. We're not going to talk about you being 8-3 before you got hurt significantly in a way that you fought through. We're going to be talking about that 8-3. We're going to talk about the rest of what happened last year and the picks that you were throwing. Even though he might have been backfooting it because he was hurt. And they would know that. And we're not going to pay you because of that. And everyone in the locker room might know that and be sitting here going, huh, so I do everything, but I get dinged up. I'm not going to get paid when it's my time. Is that right? That's the way the NFL is going to go. And as long as the cap goes up, quarterbacks are going to get it. So that's my opinion on Trevor Lawrence. Is he worth it? You might sit here and go, he's not worth it. Look at the results. He hasn't done it. We've seen guys who in the first 3 years have done more. Like, say, Joe Burrow. He made the Super Bowl. This guy made a divisional round, and he couldn't even beat Kansas City like Burrow. So Burrow deserves it, even though Trevor Lawrence's camp might push back on how many games has Trevor missed this first few years?
Rich Gardner-Minshew has better stats than Trevor Lawrence.
But how many playoff,
Daniel Jones
how many
has
playoff
stats.
Wins has Justin Herbert had? How many has he had? You know, what's he done? What's he done to make that money?
Kind of insane to pay him that much, too.
Except the market bears it and allows it. And you might say it's insane business. It's still better than what it used to be, where those guys got it without playing a single down. Now at least you get a look-see before you have to make that leap.
Right. And we got a look-see. And we can see they're not worth it.
That's easy for you to say right here, wearing your Celtic zip-up. On a show like this, if you're sitting in a front office or you're sitting in an ownership suite, you're sitting in your coach's office.
It should be easier.
And
your contract with the checkbook.
I get it.
Problem is, you just can't pluck anyone out and put them in that position. It's the toughest position to play.
And Brock Purdy has proved that all incorrect.
Okay, and he's also a unicorn. He's also a unicorn. And by the way, how good might he look if they let Ayuk walk?
Well, that's been the media narrative, that they have a super team, and that's why he looks so good.
We
look,
shall
that
see.
Was my narrative. I've come around.
If Brock Purdy had played for the Carolina Panthers, would you be getting the same results?
If it's some butts
not.
For candy and nuts, you'd all have banner 18.
You're going to be very annoying.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You got Grimace. Speaking of which, John Smoltz is going to be joining us next to talk about the Mets.
By the way, Rich, we're
Smoltz
not,
knows. Smoltz
we're not
knows.
Sure what Aiyuk was taught. We discussed this yesterday.
Well, we're going to talk about it later
sure
on.
But he was. I think it was his bowling league telling him that they didn't want him back.
Smoltz is joining us. He's zooming in. Let's get to John Smoltz when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show. One of the finest voices of baseball in the Hall of Famer, John Smoltz. This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, our radio audience will return in a couple minutes. That's when we'll turn to John Smoltz. I didn't know this news. When was this announced, Mike Hoskins? Was this just recently? Okay. It was a quarterback named Brady. Okay. You know, I kind of dig those names, right?
Heard of that guy.
His last name is Hart, H-A-R-T, spelled like Mike Hart.
Oh, nice.
So when somebody's named Brady Hart and I find out he's one of the top quarterback recruits, and LSU wants him, Clemson wants him, and Ohio State wants him. Like, okay, is there any chance Michigan has a chance with him? We can't because Jim Harbaugh left, right? And Harbaugh's the guy. Harbaugh's going to be the guy to knock on the door of a quarterback and say, I can turn you into J.J. McCarthy, and I'll just hit you on your shoulder pad, and you'll come here.
Michigan sleep over.
Michigan doesn't have a shot,
all that
right?
Fun stuff,
Michigan
right?
has no shot at that.
Treehouse.
He chose Michigan.
Oh. No fun.
That's good to know. Okay. Must be smart, you know? Hey, you can't say anything today, pal.
I didn't.
Today's your day. Today's your day, being a Celtic fan. This guy dressed up like he's Jerry Sheesting and ML Carr all wrapped in one.
Jerry Sheesting.
Out of me way! They're after me, Lucky Charms!
Nice.
Yeah, I'm a leprechaun. Come on.
He broke out the green socks.
Look at me, man.
Those guys are short.
We're not supposed to get one of the top quarterbacks, right? When Ohio State's knocking on his door.
No, you're the national
Dabo,
champion.
Dabo, right? You Brian should. Kelly says, come on down, LSU.
You should get him. You're the champion.
But no, we're supposed to be less than, man. We don't have that anymore.
This argument's not holding weight anymore.
Is that right?
No. You're the national
I don't
champion.
Think it holds weight, but that's all I hear.
Oh, he won a Florida State championship.
We're going to get curb stomped.
You're hearing that because people are haters. That's what they do. What
did he post? It's yesterday. He was blessed to receive an offer. Oh. Then he must have read the scoreboard of what it's on the right. What happened in that?
Committed today.
Okay.
See, that might have something to do with some of the
how it started and how it's going.
Right there.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. One of the greats. Hall of Famer, and love listening to him on Fox and joining us in advance of the American Century Championship Tournament, where he will be in that mix in Lake Tahoe next month. John Smoltz here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, John? Good to see you.
I'm doing great. Hey, does the young man know he'll be playing his college first 2 years on probation? Does
he know? No. See, John. You've been away.
Yeah.
You might have missed this, but no. The president of the NCAA even said last year, as Michigan was being dominant and getting to the national championship podium, there's not much there. So no, he won't be on any probation. John,
gotcha.
Don't be happy.
That's good to know.
You know what? It's kind of funny when players, and you, I don't know if you ever said this when you won your championship and you were going on championship runs, that no one can ever take this away from us. And everyone's like, who's trying to take it away from you? You, John Smoltz, is trying to take it away. you're trying to. You and all your Spartans.
I'm not one of those Spartans that didn't root for Michigan. I was rooting for Michigan. Go. So I'm a home state, all in. If Michigan State can't win, then Michigan is allowed to win. I don't hate on them like every true hardcore fan. So I was happy for them.
Well, you know, and then I appreciate you saying that, which kind of makes it even worse for me to say. I'll return the favor whenever that day might actually come. I just hope, you know, it's sometime this decade, you know, John, you know.
Yeah, it'll be basketball before it's football.
And by the way, Izzo is one of my favorites. So now we can hug it out. John Smoltz here on the Rich Eisen Show. So how do the injuries to Yamamoto and Mookie Betts harm the Dodgers' long-term success in 2024 in your mind, John?
Yeah, the only thing it does is it diminishes maybe how many wins they were going to get to win their division by. I mean, they safely, unless somebody gets super hot in the National League West, they safely will win the division, and they should still get one of the two best records in the National League. The roster was built for it, but there's no doubt between them and the Braves, you couldn't ask or want two guys to get hurt like these two guys did for each organization. So it's definitely something that's different for the Dodgers because they're going to get them back. The Braves aren't getting theirs back. So they have to play the remainder of the year without their two stars. So at least you know you're getting them back, and the Dodgers are in the right division right now. Again, given something unforeseen with either the Padres or the Giants or the Diamondbacks, it's really not going to hurt their chances of putting themselves in position for that deep postseason run that they're hoping for.
And then Anthony Rizzo goes down on Sunday night in Fenway Park as the Red Sox take the last two games of a series. You were in Fenway over the weekend. Did the Red Sox expose anything on the Yankees over this weekend, John?
You know, it's a great question. I kind of think they did in this regard. Look, the Yankees lineup works starting pitchers about as good as anybody. They take a lot of pitches. They're deep in counts, and they kind of take care of business as they should when they're built right. But what happened with the Red Sox, they spun a lot of breaking balls to them. They got ahead of them early, and they really took the sting out of their lineup. And I don't know if that's a format moving forward that you can have success against the Yankees, but it made them go just a little bit neutral and backwards to think that they're a little more human because they were on such a great roll. So give the Red Sox credit. On paper, there were some mismatches, and they didn't adhere to it, and they won two out of three, and they're now 1-6 in a row where they almost feel like they could be a playoff team. There wasn't a lot expected out of the Red Sox. So, again, good thing they don't play the game on paper because they have the hottest starter in baseball, Rodon, pitching, and then this guy named Criswell just carved up a little bit of the lineup even though he only went four innings. So I think you're right. There's a little bit of that concern that creeps in every once in a while. But I'm sure that the Yankees will figure out a way to close that door.
Well, again,
offensively.
Yeah, they have 50 wins. They got their 50th win on Friday night, but then they lost the last two. There was the Boston three party in hoops on Tuesday night and the Boston steal party over the weekend. They stole 9 bases on the Yankees in one game. So that's something else they potentially may have exposed. Gerrit Cole, though, does return on Wednesday. What are you looking to see out of Gerrit Cole, John?
I think the biggest thing is he knows how to pitch with the stuff he has, and he may have used one more, let's just say, rehab start to build his numbers up, but he's going to do that now, and he's facing probably the second-best team, or some people think the best team in the American League, the Baltimore Orioles, so that's going to be a good test for him. But I think the fact that he has been so experienced in how he pitches with his stuff that he won't overthrow, he won't try to do too much, and I'd say 3 starts is the maximum that it should take for him to get into a groove. when you've had a an injury and you've missed this amount of time, I don't care how good you are, it still takes you about three starts to get in that routine that you're used to.
John Smoltz here on the Rich Eisen Show. And the conversation about the Orioles, you know, last year, obviously, they may have arrived earlier than expected. And this year seems to be a terrific follow-up to it. Are they a better team this year, do you think, than last year, John?
On the surface, yes. On the roster, no. They lost some really big pitching. But they are a much better team with what they went through last year. They have a young core that is absolutely hungry. They are a good hitting team in a ballpark that is kind of taking care of their pitchers, with left field being about 380 now. And I just think that if the epidemic of injuries doesn't slow down, every team's vulnerable. So it's kind of hold your breath. No matter how good you are, if you don't have 12 deep that could start a game during the regular season, think about how absurd that is for me to say 12 deep. That's what it takes for teams to get through a season now. And I think that's the only thing that holds them back. We know they lost their dominant closer last year, but then when they lose 2, 3, 4 starters, that puts them in a very vulnerable position. But so far, so good. They have been holding the ship steady with missing those guys. And hopefully Bradish is not gone for the year.
And are the Phillies the best team you've seen in person this year so far, John?
I think what they're built for is this kind of chip on their shoulder last year, sour taste in the mouth. Yes, they have a roster that has got the least amount of weaknesses. They have to stay healthy. You know, they've had their best catcher go down. He'll be back. They had Turner coming back. So Trey Turner coming back. So I think they definitely have cured up most of their issues that were kind of plaguing them the last 3 to 4 years. Their bullpen's way better, and they just have a chip on their shoulder. If they get to the playoffs in a position, which would be ironic, let's just say they get the best record and they have to wait the 5 days, see how they handle it, because they've beaten the best team in baseball the last 2 years when they had the 5-day break in the Atlanta Braves. So this will be an interesting dynamic, especially if the Braves end up playing the Phillies in a reverse role. So we'll see what happens.
And it seems every year, John, there's some team post All-Star break that just goes on a run, some magical run. It all fits. It all guts together. Is there one team that you can identify? I know you don't have a crystal ball. This is one of those tough predicting type questions. But if you could say that's the team that I think can either make a move or figure out, iron out some rough spots from the first half to go on some sort of second half run to make them dangerous to potentially even win it all, would be which team, John?
I think this team management will have to change their philosophy in a drastic way and start adding for a change. The Pittsburgh Pirates are the most intriguing team in the National League with their power arms at the front of the rotation, and they have a chance to spoil a lot of people's dreams if they make the dance. But they've got to add. They got to stop doing what they've been doing and kind of recoiling every time they get in a position of just adding talent and trading their superstars. So to me, they're intriguing, along with the Cincinnati Reds. And certainly the St. Louis Cardinals have battled back. But I think the most dangerous team, with Jones and Skeens and Heller and all the different things they have going for them, man, I would not want to play the Pittsburgh Pirates when it comes down to a short series, let alone any kind of series. And that's given they give the leash and manage the innings of those two young pitchers.
Yeah, only a half game out of the wild card despite being 2 games under 500 in this crazy National League mosh pit, but a game and a half out of the second best seed in the wild card picture. I mean, Skeens 4-0, 53 strikeouts and 39 and a third, 7 starts so far, just 7 walks with an ERA of 2.29. How good do you think he is and can be, John?
Well, I would say he's this good, and I can't find too many pitchers other than Jacob DeGrom that you could say this. He could throw all fastballs and win a baseball game. He wouldn't even need his secondary stuff. Now, he's becoming a complete pitcher, and the only thing he risks at that low three-quarter angle is that slider can get a little flat at times, and that's the pitch that they can only have a chance on. But when he's right and he throws his fastball in the command zone that he has, he is an illusion that hitters don't like to see. It's an awkward big guy release point, so different than what we're used to. And again, I cross my fingers. I hope he stays healthy, but you know what the rhetoric is, and you know what baseball has had a problem with, is these hard throwing, flame throwing freaks are not lasting as long as they should. So I hope he's an outlier, and I hope that the Pittsburgh Pirates can start keeping their own talent instead of us talking about all the great pitching that is with everybody else. And they need to start keeping their own talent, build that fan base back, and be relevant again. And baseball's better when they are.
Are you a proponent of the pitch clock? Is at fault for a lot of the arm troubles we're seeing, John?
Not even a 2% reason. I mean, it's so cop-out answer that it's not even in the relative scope. The two biggest parts of reasons that the guys, first of all, they're chasing the reward system that is getting them paid, so I don't blame them. Max velocity and the grip of the baseball. The baseball has changed over time. It hasn't been able to perfect what we all can view as acceptable grip so that pitchers don't have to put their forearm at risk with that grip. And then, of course, whenever you let science go too far, we saw what happened a year and a half ago with the substance. But max effort, spin rate. I'm telling you right now, people don't understand. I've been saying this for 10 years. You could throw 150 straight fastballs with no fear of results, not care if you give up 100 home runs or 10 base hits. That is not detrimental to your arm. What's detrimental to your arm is redlining, max effort, trying to get results, spin it and break it as hard and as fast as you can. And that is the reality that we're in. And they're not asking pitchers to kind of get through seven innings. They want them to give them everything they have for what as long as they can, and they will take them out as soon as it gets to 95 pitches. There's no scientific evidence in it. They have not been able to shorten or even slow down the injury rate, but nobody talks about it because they just move on. And so whenever somebody talks about the realities of what's going on, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And that's what we've got. So they've got to change the reward system, or they're going to make a rule change in 2 years to effectively change the philosophy of how we view starting pitching.
How do they do that? What's the rule change?
Oh, they're going to do it just like they did that made the game vibrant again. They're going to make a rule change in either roster limits. So if you have roster limits and pitchers and the amount that you can use, you're going to ask them to do different things. If you get creative, like I asked, I said about 3 years ago, I said, tie your starting pitcher to the DH. And everyone goes, you have lost your mind. I said, but no, think about it. If you wanted a competitive advantage and you come up with a crazy idea like that, are you going to start an opener? Are you going to start a guy and then have four pinch hits the rest of the game and try to navigate the game that way? So baseball has been trying to self-correct on its own, and they realize philosophically they won't. So what do? They enlarge the bases. They change the shift. They change the pitch clock. We got a game that's action-filled again and moving along. Well, the same applies for philosophy to pitching. You think anyone's going to change philosophy, even though the injury rate's going through the roof and this has been happening the last 5 years? No way. So there will be some creative rule changes down the pike. If this, they're doing some studies, they're trying to figure it out, but it's right there before everybody's eyes, and no one wants to talk about it because they just want the next guy to just fill in, and we'll just keep getting the next guy up.
So don't have the pitchers hit, but still act as if they are in the lineup as a hitter. So anytime you change the starting pitcher, you have to change the designated hitter. Is that what you're saying, John?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So now if you want a competitive advantage over the next organization and your pitchers are only going 5 1/3 on average, you're going to have to fill two pinch hits. But if you get a pitcher to go, seven innings, if he goes seven innings and his arm doesn't fall off, then you only have one pinch hit that you have to worry about. So I think those are ways that you would take an organization and say, we're going to still play it the same way. All right, good for you. You try to survive that way. And then other organizations are going to say, you know what, we've got to look at it differently because I don't want to have four pinch hitters in a game, every game that we play, because we know no one throws a complete game. So the threshold is, how do you move starting pitchers from 5 1/3 to possibly 6 1/3 to possibly seven innings?
John Smoltz here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, for those listening, John Smoltz appears to be in a spot working on his game in advance of the American Century Championship tournament he's on to talk about. And, you got your golf shirt on. It looks like you're in a very nice spot on the top floor of some sort of living arrangement where you're going to be there multiple days. Have I nailed this down right, John? You're there.
This is my home. My home club, Hawks Ridge, already got 18 in. Going to go play another 18.
All right.
Working on the game, trending in the right direction. and I am I finished 6th in January in the celebrity event.
Okay.
2nd in April at the tournament in Dallas, okay. And there's only one spot left, right? I mean, sixth, second, first.
Correct.
Or Tahoe.
Right.
That's it.
So are we going to get past Vinny Del Negro this time, John, or what do we got here?
We're going to get past Romo. We're going to get past Martin Fish, Mark Mulder. We're going to get past – I don't know if the defending champ is going to be able to play because of the Olympics. Curry, of course, won it last year. We're going to get by them all. This is a plan that has been working in progress for a while. Two new hips, first time going in the Tahoe.
Okay.
With two brand new hips. So standing on my legs for 5 hours and 45 minutes is not going to be an issue why I don't win. It'll be because I just didn't make enough putts. So I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm 57. Yeah. I'm on a mission, right?
Yeah.
I'm on a mission, and I'm going to be the oldest winner to ever win Tahoe.
This is something for you to shoot for. No question about that. How low do you have to be? I mean, because again, we're Stableford. What's the number?
Right.
What's the winning number?
So here? I got to average 25 points a game around.
Okay.
That's going to be pretty strong, but that's what I've got to get to. And I'm the par king out there. I get the most pars of anybody every year, and it's only worth 1 point. That's no value. So I'm going to turn into I'm turning into birdies or bogeys. That's all I care about. Birdies and bogeys, because I'm going to be aggressive. Birdies is 3 points. Bogey is zero. If I make enough birdies, they way outweigh the amount of pars that I've made in the past.
That's kind of like a basketball way of looking at it. More threes. Take as many threes as you possibly can and turn down the two-point attempts, because the number of three, if you blitz with the threes, you know, it's better. The math adds up. I like it, John.
Yeah, one would say, yeah. And I think this approach will have to be a little bit more aggressive from round one. The reason I don't, for whatever reason, win tournaments more than I should, it's because of round one. I'm way too conservative, and I always think that I can work my way into the tournament by being okay first round, but then there's too much to pick up after that. So I'm going for it. Course record, maybe. Just try to just shoot course records every single time.
Now, who do they pair you with? Do they pair you with equal sticks, or do they just throw anybody in there and you gotta fight through that first round with some duffer out there holding you up, John? How does this work?
In the past, it used to be Glavin and Maddox. And, you know, look, I played a ton of golf with those two guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that I don't want to play with them, but, you know, playing with other people every once in a while is nice. It's a random thing, and it's usually – pretty good golfers that I get to play with. Play with Annika a few times.
Okay.
I have yet to be in a group at Tahoe, I believe, with Marty Fish. I really want to stare the bully down. He's our best. and I really want to be able to just look him in the eyes and just say something.
Wow.
I don't know what it is yet.
Okay.
But he's the best, and he's one of the greatest guys in the world.
He is.
So. He's the one that beat me in Dallas. He birdied the last hole. I double bogeyed the last hole. I'm kind of over it. I've learned from it. I've moved on. I didn't go outdoors for a couple of weeks, and now I'm fine. Everything's fine.
I think, did Marty win you or us a free golf bag once?
Free travel bag.
Oh, yeah.
We played with Marty before.
Yeah, we've ridden the Marty Fish train to free stuff, John.
Yeah.
We've done that before, so good luck. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
You're the best, John. Thanks for the time, man. Go hit him straight again.
Appreciate it.
Thanks again.
That's
John Smoltz. Everybody check out the American Century Championship Tournament in less than a month from now. Friday, July 12th through the 14th on NBC. Special coverage on Peacock and the Golf Channel. It's John Smoltz here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Love it.
There you go.
Great list of celebs this year.
Oof. Well, it always is, man.
So good.
Can you imagine I get invited and they're like, they stick me with Smoltz? And he's like, he's got to get playing. And I'm like looking for my golf ball for a 15th time. Where is it?
Hey,
where's that thing? That's why I don't get invited.
Elevation helps us though, Rich. We'd hit a little further.
It doesn't matter about how far. So to go deeper into the forest.
Maybe.
That par three along the lake. Some boat is like 100 feet out. And they have no idea. No golf ball is going to get here.
No good.
And then I step up. Hit Del Tufo right in the head. Just taking some terrible shot of some energy drink, hoping to get a free gig out of it. By the way, did you know that we got the answer to that paid partnership?
No, I did not hear.
We got the answer to it.
Yeah.
The paid partnership photograph he took of some can that was in the shadows because he was so terrible at taking the picture.
Right.
He added paid partnership to it, making people think he's got a partnership.
Hoping,
but
he
he's really
get
hoping
one.
To yeah. get the attention of the energy drink.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we saw that coming, right? I mean,
I'm not mad at that.
It was a line in the water, trying to reel in the fish.
You missed.
So how'd
one?
It go?
100%. Not well, because it's a terrible picture.
That's true.
But it still got 450 likes.
Well, that's par for
always
the course.
Same as every other
they
one.
All do.
844-204-RICH, number to dial
take
right
a
here
shot, kids.
On
a
Rich Eisen Show. There it is. That's the way he did not get a paid partnership.
Had he just moved it further on board?
Oh my God.
It's a lovely boat table.
But a boat table company reached out and said, hey, that's beautiful.
Hey.
We'll hire you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Herm Edwards on October 30th, 2002, after a Week 8 loss to the Cleveland Browns.
Ooh.
Here is play to win the game, as told by Victor Newman.
This is great about sports. This is what's the greatest thing about sports, is you play to win. Hello? You play to win the damn game, right? You don't play just to play it. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, get your ass out of here, then retire. Because it matters.
Well done. That's number one. Next up, on October 16th, 2006, after the Cardinals blew a 20-point lead against the Bears on Monday Night Football.
Oh, man.
Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were, as portrayed by Victor Newman.
Bears are who we thought they were, you know? That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the damn hook.
Very good. Very well done. All right, last one for you.
I can feel it. I can feel it.
I'm glad that we got it rolling, because here's the last one.
I can feel it. Oh.
On May 7th, 2002... the famed practice press conference of one Allen Iverson, as recounted by the man who plays Victor Newman, Eric Braeden. Hit it.
I mean, listen, man. You're talking about practice, okay? Not a game. It's not a game. Not a game, all right? Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. I know it's important. Yeah, I do. I honestly do. But we're talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice. You're talking about practice, man.
Love him. Love it. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. Pre-seasoned, ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. It heats evenly from edge to edge, reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works prep, cook, and store system helps keep cooking supplies handy. You can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. We had lunch on it just last week. We are big fans of the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle. Get fired up for your new one today. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. All rise, Terzo in Iowa is here on the program. How you been, Terzo? Good to see you.
Doing well, guys. Hey, congratulations, Brockman.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
On your win. It's always hard for me to give any credit to a Bostonian winning a championship, but I did call it in 5 games, so I was pretty happy about that.
You've had a lot of practice. So,
Rich, now with the Celtics being, you know, the top dog in the NBA,
yes,
and our recency bias,
yes,
what do you think it will take for your Knicks,
yeah,
to overcome them next season? Because I do believe Jaylen Brown is that guy.
Yeah. Well, what they need to do is they've got to add somebody who to take some of the heat off of Jalen Brunson. That's all. Somebody that he can't be picked up all 94 feet. I mean, Dante DiVincenzo provided that punch. I don't know if you can expect it from him. Josh Hart turned into the, you know, modern day Rodman. I don't know if last night's game 5 panelist in Julius Randle is going to be that guy. I don't know. I just hope they draft somebody that's particularly that good. And I just assume that they just need that one more player to be just as good as Jalen Brunson. Who's that going to be? Is it Julius Randle? I don't know.
And I don't know if it can be him either. I think there has to be somebody that you need to target in free agency and or through the draft. But that's kind of the thought that I had for the Knicks. And to kind of touch on the Brandon Ayuk story, as a 49er fan, man, we all want him back. We just can't pay him at the top level because I don't think he's at the top level. And I know the market can bear it out, but the unfortunate part is I don't think he gets paid as a top 5 receiver.
Well, because he's not in the role of being a top 5 receiver because they don't have to have him as a top 5 receiver. Thanks for the call, Terzo. And if I was his agent, that's what I'd be saying. I'd be saying you've got Debo, you've got Kittle, you've got McCaffrey. If you didn't have any of those guys, you know who would be playing like CeeDee Lamb? Our guy. And he does have that ability. So we need to take less because you've got so many other guys. And the answer from the Niners are, yeah, we got to pay all these other guys. And the quarterback who can help make sure your guy stays top 5, we got to pay him. And look what the other guys are making. I mean, Purdy right now, if you're Purdy's agent, you got to be like, okay, Trevor Lawrence for this one playoff win is $55 million per year, and Trevor Lawrence gets that, and Justin Herbert with his 0 career playoff wins, and Joe Burrow with his 1 Super Bowl loss season makes all this much. Guess how much Brock Purdy's going to demand?
$100 million.
More than all of them.
Yeah.
More than all of them. So if you're John Lynch, you've got to sit here and figure out how to make this work. And all I will say is we went through this with Debo Samuel, where Debo made it seem like I'm never showing up again, and they sign him. So Ayuk saying, you know, they don't want me. It's just they don't want you at this particular price. And you got to sit here and say, do I want to play one more year for them and then make a killing somewhere else? And that somewhere else I might not be on such a Super Bowl winning team? Again, these are the questions he's got to ask himself. I just don't know what the number is on the table. If it's so low that it's insulting, or it's something that he can potentially live with. And if you're the Niners, you got to stick it out to see if he'll live with it. And look past all of the stuff that he might be putting on social media, because none of it appears to be worse than what they got through with Debo right now. Debo is like, I'm not coming back. Ayuk is like, they don't want me back. That's a different story. So these things tend to get worked out.
Debo is the way I'm looking at it. Club. Ayuk was at home when he.
Well, again, he was just at the club when somebody walked past with a sign saying, you know, come back, and he's laughing at it. You know, Ayuk, these things tend to get worked out, and the Niners tend to work them out. So I'm not, you know, at DEFCON 1 on that yet. We'll talk about it with Tom Pelissero in just a couple of minutes' time. All right. Can we work something out in the next couple of minutes? Because this thing's driving me crazy. You know what I'm talking about.
I now know what you're talking about. Let me go move it.
There's this yellow cone that's been directly in the 3-foot radius space that anything gets placed in our courtyard can be seen on this shot.
I'm gonna go move it right now.
And all I know is that. Hold on a second. Whatever it is. Protecting
something.
Not a single. Well, that person maybe not walking into it because there's a cone
right there.
What is it? Is there like a pothole that somebody could turn an ankle on?
No, could be no, wet.
Definitely not. What is it? Well, it can't be wet now. They haven't. It's been 2 hours. What is needs to be protected?
Great question.
What is out there?
Great question.
That's what I said. Let me go research.
It's just honestly, it's just directly that person's walking behind it. Well done. That's another life saved. That's another lawsuit averted by that one cone that is perfectly placed to be in my background area. So can we find out what it is?
It says caution, Rich Eisen.
No, it doesn't say caution. It says place here to piss off Rich. It's probably what it says on that one cone. It's been there 2 hours, and I've really restrained myself.
By the way, this is the first time I've noticed it.
How have you not noticed it? It's been sitting there the entire time.
I don't know.
All right, Tommy P's coming up.
Every story eventually comes to an end. This June, hear the final episode of season 2 of the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, Durham. In the Red Clay tells the unbelievable true story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history. In the podcast that people are calling riveting, incredibly moving, captivating, and addicting. Binge seasons 1 and 2 of In the Red Clay now, wherever you listen.